Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves. Good evening, dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters, and all of you who are listening to our radio show, The Truth, The Way, and The Life, on our radio Svetigora, official radio of Metropolitan of Montenegro and the Seacoast. Tonight we will listen a lecture of mine given during my stay in Australia last December and January, during the Christmas feast days. And this lecture was given in a Russian Orthodox convent nearby Sydney. And it was a seminary of Russian Orthodox youth in Australia. It was some kind of spiritual retreat. And I was there for the last day of this retreat. And it was given in front of, I don't remember, about maybe 100 young men and girls. And it was, well, you will see what was it all about. And it will be divided on two halves again, like last time. First half tonight will be my speech, and then the second half will be broadcasted next. It will be next Friday. And the second half will be questions and answers. Questions were posed from audience, and I was giving answers. And the reason we are dividing this in two parts is exactly because of the second part, questions and answers were also almost like the lecture. So tonight you will listen the lecture given to the Orthodox Russian youth in Australia, in Sydney, and next Friday there will be questions and answers. Thank you, and I hope you will enjoy. First of all, I have to express my gratitude that you have called me to talk to you, because we do not know each other. And secondly, I have to, in the first place, to apologize for my bad English. Since I have lived in the United States more than 20 years ago, and my English is New York Street English. It's not English from books. And and my life is New York street life and Belgrade street life, and
all over but only street life. Although I was a good boy, let's say, and I was obedient to my parents as much as it was possible to me in those years. And I was studying, I finished university. My secular profession is dentist, although I never worked as a dentist because I always loved art, and I wanted to be a painter, an artist. So when I finished my high school, I told this to my parents, I would like to go to art academy, and my father said, no way. He said, you can always paint and draw and whatever you want, but you have to finish something concretely. And since they were medical, in medical profession, I have decided to go to dentistry, since it was still a communist period in Serbia, and you couldn't be a private in any way, and I always wanted to be free. Freedom was always very important to me. So I said to myself, well, I'm not going to be a medical doctor because you cannot be a private. But at that time, the private dentists started to appear in Serbia and in Belgrade. So that's how I have decided to do that. Although, in the meantime, I was going to a school preparing high school kids for art academy. And there I had my own world. I had models, I had clay. I didn't go for painting, but for clay modeling, to be a sculptor. And in those early days of my youth, always searching for a higher meaning of life, but unfortunately living in communism, we didn't have a real open approach to Orthodox Church. Although it was not that suppressed like in Russia or Romania or Bulgaria, it was kind of soft communism, but which was even more dangerous, because they say, well, you can travel, you can go here and there, you can see a world, you're not confined in small Yugoslavia. And it was giving us idea that we are free, that we belong to the world, but the whole thing was that we were out of church. And since I was always looking for a higher meaning of life, I was always convinced that there must be something else than this body, and this is what we can see around us. So art for me was kind of religion, but it was not enough. So since it was not enough, I started to look around where I can find more deeper or more higher meaning of life. And not when I say meaning of life, it sounds more philosophically, but to find inner peace, inner joy. Because very soon I stopped to be a child when I was 12. And when we were children, we still have this connection to the source of life, source of joy, source of happiness. It comes from the creator of the universe. He is the supreme source of power of life. And so since I was cut off when I was 12, and how it happened. So when we are children, we are in connection with the Holy Spirit. God takes care of us because we are not yet mature. We are not. We don't have freedom. I mean, we do have freedom, but we are still innocent. So when you are innocent, God takes care of you. And we can be innocent until very old age. Unfortunately, I left this early age, which was innocent and full of joy of life, And I stopped to be a child when I was 12 because I stopped being obedient to my parents. To be obedient means to be innocent, to be led by somebody else who takes care of you, who loves you, who wants to help you to be fulfilled person, to be a person that is integral, to be complete. Unfortunately, today we see that we are letting children to do what they want, so they can even accuse their parents to the government, to the police, and this way they are cut off from this source of energy. They are cut off and they are given this false freedom. So in those times, which were, like, let's say more than 30 years ago, but the conditions were very similar like today, it was given to us from the Western music and Western movies, Hollywood and rock and roll coming from England and the United States. It was given to us that we should get rid of our parents as soon as possible, to be free. And so immediately when that happened, we were cut from this source of joy. We were cut from, of course, we were not in church, but the family who loves you, family who is normal, family which knows what is really true meaning of life. It's like a small church, although we were not churchgoers. My parents were not communists, but they were product of communist system, because the church was expelled from the society. And when I was 12 years old, I stopped being child because I stopped being shy. We were not shy anymore. We were bold. We wanted to do whatever we wanted to. So when we cut ourselves from this source of energy, which is Holy Spirit, we felt something is wrong. All of a sudden, something was missing. There was no joy anymore. There was not this magic when we get together. Our secret life was there and our imagination was there. We lost that. We felt something is missing. This emptiness was started to grow in our hearts more and more. We didn't know what's going on. But still, we didn't go back to ask our parents what happened with us. We were going more and more far away from our families. We found ourselves on the streets, going to nightclubs, discotheques, rock concerts, thinking that this is giving us freedom and fulfillment. But we were going far away more and more from the source of joy, which was lost. And we couldn't stand this any longer, because human soul and heart has to be fed by something higher, not with this world. And so since that happened, and it continued to last for a few years more, when we basically finished our elementary school, when we were 14, 15, we couldn't stand this emptiness in ourselves anymore. And of course, the first thing that came to us from this perverted society were narcotics. So very soon we have discovered so-called light drugs, which are not light at all, which are very hard and very dangerous. And it was marijuana, but more hashish. Hashish was much closer to us, because the Turkey was close to Serbia. And there was a lot of opium, not heroin. Heroin came later. Opium was there because there was a Macedonia. It was part of pre-ex-Yugoslavia, where maybe the best opium groves in the world. China? I have to say, what is it all about? And so the thing is that we entered this life, this world of narcotics. And besides that, we have discovered our religion. So since a human being needs to be religious, homo religiosus in Latin, not homo sapiens. Homo sapiens is something, sapientia in Latin means to be clever. So since Mr. Darwin, Englishman, like English people, they went away from Britain and they wanted to colonize the world. This greediness that comes from that island is immense. So when they went to Africa or to Australia, they have seen black people. And they came to the idea that they are some kind of half animals. And from that point, they decided that they are humans, they are homo sapiens, clever people, wise people, real people, and those people are like animals. And even today they think this way, although they cover, they hide it. And so since man is basically homo religiosus, the man who needs higher meaning of life, needs religion, means reconnection with Lord. Religion means ligatura, religion. Ligatura in Latin means connection. And it means that we were connected long time ago with something. We were connected with the source of life, with the creator of the universe. But we were disconnected at one moment in the past. And religion is something that reconnects us. Re, which means again. So we always need to reconnect ourselves back where we fell off. And since we didn't have real religion, since we didn't have real connection with a real source of life, we have discovered another religion for us, which was rock and roll. And in those times, we had a lot of rock bands from basically from England and United States coming from to communist Yugoslavia. And we thought this is the fulfillment of all our hopes and needs. And we went deep into this new religion. And very soon we thought maybe let's try to become priests of this new religion, which means let's create a rock band. So that's how it all started. But unfortunately, we couldn't grasp this joy that we have lost in our childhood. And this rock and roll only made this emptiness more profound, more heavy, more deep. And we were going more and more into this kind of life, having very soon premature sex, drugs, going out from our homes, spending nights out of our families, out of our homes, and we were getting more and more sick, but sick in our souls. And very soon, when we were in our early 20s, this whole this friends of mine, this companionship of mine, they were basically very clever young men, very gifted, mostly artists, musicians, painters, writers, actors, and students of high schools. So they were not peasants. They were urban young people who thought that this is the right way because it was given to us from the West. Unfortunately, we didn't have connection with Orthodox Church. Orthodox Church was somewhere far away in the catacombs of Belgrade and of Serbia. And besides rock and roll, we have found those of us who wanted even higher meaning of life, something spiritual. We have found Far East religions, Far East philosophy, Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, Hinduism, yoga. And in my case, I have found a Hindu sect, which is called Transcendental Meditation, so-called TM, which was brought in Europe by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who was brought to Europe by Beatles. So it all comes from this, from Brits, from English people who expelled Jesus Christ in early centuries from Europe. And so I thought maybe this transcendental meditation will help me. And it did in a false way in the beginning. Invoking mantra for hundreds and thousands of times in my life. I was meditating for almost 8 years. And I was sinking more deeper and deeper into this depression, if I can say in today's terminology. But I thought, as they told me, as they were teaching us in this school of meditation, that it is like that in the beginning. You just force yourself, continue in meditating, and you will find freedom. And I remember my friends who were meditating. There were two ways that we were sinking deep into narcotics and into sexual perversions. I remember there was an ashram, they call it this way. It's a place where these Hindu are living together, something like a monastery. It was in Holland. And they used to go there to reach higher levels of meditation called siddhis. Siddhi means power in Sanskrit. And I can remember friends of mine who used to go there. Many of them became lesbians and gays. Because those mantras, those words that you invoke and you are not supposed to know what does it mean. That's how they teach. You should invoke this word for thousands and hundreds of thousands time in your life, but you're not allowed to know what does it mean. And you're not allowed to tell this to others. So my mantra was Aima, and Aima in Greek, in ancient Greek is pronounced Emma, and Emma means blood. It's coincidence, of course, but I was invoking blood in my life for 8 years. I was so deceived by this. And I remember I was always also sinking deep into the promiscuity and this sexual communion with others without any love, without any meaning. And it was emptying myself and others more and more. So we finally discovered that living in small Belgrade is too boring. So we have decided to go to New York, to big world, to United States of America, to find American dream. And unfortunately, or maybe even fortunately, I don't know, we have found American nightmare. So it was an American nightmare, what we have found there. I have realized this very, very, very soon. Sometimes people do not realize this. They think that's the life where we live. But in about 2 years, I came to the point that I couldn't see the meaning of life anymore. I was clever enough to manage to to have good job, to have friends, girls, to have private business of my own, to have my apartment. So all those things that young, for example, young Belgrade boy imagines that this will make him happy one day, since, of course, Yugoslavia is a small, poor, communist country. So I have managed to acquire all these material goods, and I had a private business in Lower East Side of Manhattan, which was kind of bohemian part of New York, where young people were there, nightclubs, bars, pubs, galleries. We have managed, me and my partner, I had a partner, to have a little store where we used to sell art items. I used to go around visiting second-hand furniture shops, picking up nice pieces and putting them together, making some kind of sculptures out of furniture. I would paint on them and making very attractive piece of furniture, and we used to live good. So we had money, we had friends, we had success, but this emptiness was the biggest. And finally, I have realized that there is no higher meaning of life, actually. It is only depression. And I had friends of mine who also suffered from depression. And they would go even to the doctors, to psychiatrists, and they would tell them, well, it's a depression, you see? And it's a brain disease. It's nothing spiritual, you know. It's a disbalance of chemicals in your brain, and that's it, you know. You are supposed to take antidepressants, so psychoactive drugs, for the rest of your life, and this is about it. There is no other solution. It's a disease of modern world. There is nothing spiritual in it. It cannot be healed or fixed by any other way. So when I heard something like this from friends of mine, I made a decision that, well, if that's so and there is no higher meaning of life, then I have a right to finish with my life. Nobody asked me if I want to enter this existence. So I have absolute right to finish with this. And somehow I have made a decision that I will more sooner or later commit a suicide, because this is the it's my way of getting out of all this mess which life was to me. And by accident, or maybe there is no accident, one evening at one party, I met one young man. He was Serbian from Belgrade, but we didn't know each other. And he was he left Yugoslavia like I did. He went to Australia. He was here in Sydney. It was more than 20 years ago. And he was not baptized as a young child as I was. So he was an architect, also intellectual, but as a young man, also searching for something higher, something spiritual, he went into some criminal company, and he went deep into alcohol. He started to quench his thirst for something spiritual in alcohol, and he became heavy alcoholic, like it is very common in this country, or in every today's country or Western world. And by God's providence, he met some Romanian people, not Serbs, not Russians, not Greek, and he went. They have seen what is going on with him, and they told him, "Come with us. Come with us to the Holy Liturgy. We are sure it can help you." And he said, okay, I have nothing to lose. He went there and he have found something that he was looking for. And he converted over there. He got baptized. And but since he did something criminal in this country, he had to leave. So he went to New York, we met there. And so when I met him that night at this crazy party with all these interesting young men that were interesting to me, but they were all sick in a way, artists and musicians, and which was very in at that time in New York. I have seen this young man. He looked very straight, as we say today. He didn't look at all so interesting. But he had something in himself that I needed badly, that I was craving for, and I didn't know what is it. It was some kind of serenity, some peace in him, and joy. But he didn't smoke anything, he didn't drink anything, he didn't sniff anything. I think he was drinking juice, not even Coca-Cola. So, of course, it was not decent for me to approach him and to ask about his life philosophy that time. But I waited for about 10 days. We were meeting each other in the meantime. So one evening when I was at his place, when we were drinking tea, I asked him, what is it all about? What do you do in your life? Because I was sure, from my point of view at that time, that he found some special, new, or even more something, some secret Far East meditation that we didn't know before. And but he told me, you know, maybe you will be disappointed. I'm an Orthodox Christian. I was baptized. Now we are in the period of Great Lent. I'm preparing for Easter. I'm preparing for communion, and this is all about it. And of course, I was disappointed. I left Serbia. I left Orthodoxy. I left priests. All those things that, of course, I never mocked priests or church. I had respect, but I had some kind of, I thought they're doing something which is not really real. They're just losing their lifetimes, thinking there is something exists. But I didn't believe that God exists. I thought there is only something that you can do, as those Far East philosophers were telling us. There is no God. I mean, they say there are a lot of gods, but there is no real God that you can get in touch, get in contact. So these Far East religions are telling you through ascetical life, you can acquire holiness and you can become divine by yourself. You can become divinity by yourself, because you are a divine. You just have to find out that in yourself. So I thought with inner effort, I can become divine myself. So it was a great, great, terrible delusion, which our main part of the world today is. No matter what kind of religion is, basically they are telling us that there is no God, you are God, just work hard on yourself, whatever it is, and you will become divine, which is great delusion. And I have to say about meditation and about yoga, it is a monologue. Since we need love, we all need love. We need fulfillment of love, and supreme love comes from above, comes from God. And when you meditate, you're actually making love to yourself. It's a monologue. And when you do this kind of false love, I call it spiritual masturbation. So all those people that practice yoga and meditation, they are actually masturbate spiritually. And when you pray to the living God, to the creator of the universe, when you pray to your real parent, to your real father, who is waiting for you to invoke his name, then it's a dialogue. And as a dialogue, it's a real love. And real love produces life. And not only life, but eternal life. And masturbation is just spilling of your sexual cells, and it creates death. So I left apartment of this friend of mine, being disappointed, of course, expecting something else, I don't know what. But anyway, since I had respect towards this young man, I couldn't stay this way, so next day I went back and I said, "Forgive me, I know I'm snob. Just tell me more about this Orthodox Christianity, whatever it is." And he told me, "Well, I'm not a theologian." He told me a little bit, and he said, "Here, take this book." And this book was extremely important in my life. This book was written by a Russian saint from the medieval age. He was called Neil Sorsky, from River Sora in Russia. I don't know exactly where it is. But the thing is that he was a monk on Mount Athos in Greece. He spent many years on Mount Athos, and the Greek fathers taught him what is it actually all about in this universe, in this created universe. He was taught there that there is a supreme way of contact with the creator of the universe, which is called hesychasm, or isichasmos, isichasm, which is actually coming from Greek word isichia, which means silence, quiet, to be quiet, quietness. And but not to be silent just like that, not to be alone just like that, because in this life, if we withdraw somewhere out, and if we are by ourselves, alone, it can be very dangerous, because we don't know how to cope with our madness, with our anxiety that we all have in ourselves. Today, it is absolutely common thing to be anxious, to be depressed, to be in unrest. So it is very dangerous to be alone, not knowing how to deal with our loneliness. It is extremely, extremely dangerous, because today we see that there is a extreme increase in suicide. People cannot stay alone, and we are all terribly alone. Doesn't matter if we live in Sydney or in New York, where there's 20 million of people. We are terribly alone. When we go back to our room, to our apartment, we see how terribly alone we are, because we do not have connection with the Supreme Being. Supreme Being is the creator of this whole universe. And being in contact with Him, it's supremely important. And when you're in contact, when you're plugged in this supreme energy, you do not feel alone anymore. You feel that you have a heavenly parent, divine parent who takes care of you. And the most beautiful feeling when I have found this path, this life, Orthodox Christianity, is this feeling of constant presence of supreme power that takes care of you, that loves you, that protects you. So I was alone maybe almost 30 years in my life, and this loneliness was leading me straight into the suicide. So when I have taken this book with me to my apartment, I have realized it was a short book. It was kind of a short guide into the center of the meaning of life. It explained to me that there is a living God who created everything, who is a personal being, who is good being, emotional, omnipotent. There, on the other side, there are spirits of darkness, that they are very present in this world, that there is a soul, and the soul is under attack, non-stop, constant attack of these spirits of darkness, who are fallen spirits. and who are endlessly jealous of us humans, because we have opportunity to go back, to be reconnected in religion, reconnected with the source of life. And they are endlessly jealous, and they are radiating on us this deadly energy. And holy Saint Neil Sorsky explained to me in this book that there is a special activity which helps us to protect us, to make a shield in front of us, which is going to protect us from this corrosive effect. And it is called prayer. And not only just simple prayer, but very, very specific prayer, which is called prayer of the mind and the heart, so-called Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Isuse, Gospode Isuse Hriste, Sine Boži, pomiluj me. So when you invoke this holy name, cleansing up your mind, expelling all thoughts, and lowering your mind and your heart, which means going deep into your inner being, not being in your brain, and from there to rise your prayer, your scream to the Creator of the universe, to the Lord, to God the Father, then He will give you everything that you are looking in your life. So since I was meditating for almost 8 years, and to me, to plunge deep into myself, it was not that strange. I was used to it. I said to myself, okay, I can always do whatever I want with my life, basically to kill myself right away or slowly on some heavy drug. I will try with this. This is the, I think, the last thing that I didn't try in my life. So I started to pray. And it was not an experiment. It was a scream or some... Kako se kaže vapaj? Znaš možda? Never mind. Cry. More, like a cry. More than... It's something between scream and cry. The cry of my whole life. Although, don't think that I was some kind of rascal or a bum or a homeless. I managed to acquire very, 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 very quickly a success. And from outside, I was a very successful young doctor who was a successful artist in New York, which was a goal for many young men coming all over from the world, but this emptiness was killing me. So when I started to pray, I said, okay, now I will start to pray. And I started to cry deep from my heart. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and help me to find if there is anything there that can help me. And in those brilliant, majestic moments of my life, I was 29, in my apartment in Brooklyn, the heavens opened. What does it mean, the heavens opened? It was not like I had a vision or something that Christ with his wounds were coming to me from heaven. No. The feeling of living God came to me, which consists of two feelings: the supreme love and the feeling of immortality. So what is most important in our lives? Love. I believe that every normal man and woman is looking for love in the first place, and everything else comes after that. So this was in these beautiful moments when I invoked Jesus' name for the first time in my life. I said, okay, now I'm just going to switch mantra, because I used to I was meditating before. Now I'm just going to invoke Jesus' prayer with deep to be, and I was being, I was convinced that there must be the answer. So I felt this immense love that was filling me more and more. And I have realized that something is loving me. That nobody loved me in my life this way. My mother, my father, my friends, my girls, my lovers. Nobody loved me this way. And it was so touching. It was so... I don't have words, especially not in English. To talk on spiritual issues is so hard because there is no words, especially in English, which is not my native language. But I was so pierced with this sword of love through my heart that in those moments I have realized that life is so beautiful. That life is have such a beautiful meaning. And the very next feeling after this feeling of love or together was feeling of immortality. So I felt deep in myself, in complete body, in complete being of mine, this flame that is burning there, and it is burning, it will burn forever. It is this energy of soul, of life. But it will only change the form of it, because even science today, scientists, they say that energy doesn't vanish. It just changes the form. And this immense energy, the power of soul, it is a power of life. It is a power that holds the whole universe in action. It's actually also put deep into the soul. And with God's help, you can feel this flame of immortality burning in yourself, and it will burn forever. And it is extremely important and beautiful feeling that actually you know, you do not believe anymore, but you know that you're immortal. And those two things are actually the most important in our lives. What is most important? The most important? Love. And what is actually the most terrible thing in our lives? Death. So the feeling of life, the feeling of God, the living God, is actually giving you supreme love, and you are convinced that you are going to be alive forever. But of course, in this book I have realized it is extremely important how are you going to prepare yourself for this changing of the worlds. Because our soul is going to stay immortal. But it is extremely important in which state of it will go over there. Because if the soul goes there spoiled or even blinded, it will suffer over there from this beautiful uncreated light, from this beautiful uncreated divine light that shines on the whole universe. And the Lord didn't invent hell. We are inventing our own hells. We are creating them. So when we plunge deep and give ourselves to certain passions, or when I say passion, I have realized in English passion even has a positive connotation. Passion is something, it's suffering, actually. Obsession, lust. When we give ourselves to certain lust, to certain slavery of something, we are blinding our soul. We are degenerating our souls. Because the soul, deep into it, has this eye, which is called spirit, or deep heart, which is actually a sense that we sense divine things. It's not like a... Как се каже чула? Senses. Yeah, senses. We have these bodily senses that we are feeling actually this outer world. But deep in our souls and our hearts, we have this spiritual sense for spiritual realms. And it's deep in our soul. So when we live the life which is common in today's world, where there is no even idea of God anymore and Supreme Being, we are spoiling, we are blinding this eye of our souls. And when we die one day, when our body dies, so when we go in another realm, this eye will be blinded and it will suffer from this immense light which is God Himself, which is expecting us. So it is extremely important to prepare ourselves, to prepare our spirits, our souls for this encounter. And in today's world we see everything is going against this holy science, because holy fathers and church and I myself have realized that Orthodox Christianity is the supreme science and supreme art, because you're making, I'm an artist, and I was always aspiring to create perfect piece of art. But the main goal of all of us is to make perfect piece of art, but from of ourselves. To make your soul a perfect crystal that can accept this ray of uncreated light. And in this world that we live in, we see that it is a great seduction now today present. All these things from this world are lurking, and we are seducted all the time. We are seduced. The whole society is seducing us, is forcing us to prostitute. We are fornicating with the life around us, with the world. It is a false love. We are making love with this world instead of making love with the creator of the universe, our supreme lover, and his son, Jesus Christ. And when I say making love, it sounds ugly, because we know what does it mean in this world. But real prayer, real contact with living God is actually a loving contact. Real prayer, deep prayer, is actually a loving communion, love communion with our supreme parent. And we see today that we live in a secular society. There is no question of, is there something above there? We believe that the only truth is what science tells us. And we see how impotent we are, because we do not have this power anymore. And I see, especially here in Australia, especially in Brisbane, where I came from yesterday, a lot of young people are doing tattoos. They are tattooing themselves. A lot of young people are really making these tattoos. And where does tattoo come from? First tattoos were made in those tribal societies, in Africa, in here or wherever, South America. Because man is always aware that there is another powers that he doesn't have control of, and he needs to somehow to ask for mercy from diseases, from weather changes. And they believe that if they do certain signs on their bodies, that those signs will protect them from those spirits. And man was always aware that there are spirits in this world, and that we have somehow to make them to be merciful to us. So it comes from powerlessness of our beings. So today people also feel this powerlessness, this weakness, and probably not being aware of it and being extremely impotent. We are extremely all impotent today. We don't have this power. They're poor then. They're putting those tattoos. Being so empty and poor, suffering from spiritual poverty, and they believe when they put this tattoo that they will have some strength. And also from deep need for beauty. We all need to be surrounded with beauty. And we see here in this society, everything is so on the high level of aesthetics, aesthetized. Everything is aesthetized. Everything is beautified, if I can say this in English this way. But man needs beauty. He needs to be beautiful something. But he doesn't know how to beautify his soul. The supreme beauty comes from spiritual world. And not knowing that, we are poor us trying to make our outer look, our cities, our streets, our homes, our bodies to be, you know, adorned. It's a false cosmetics. We need divine cosmetics to adorn our inner being with this supreme beauty which comes from the Holy Spirit. So we see this poor young man really in this supreme ugliness. When you see this, it looks like some kind of disease on their bodies. And also all these piercings, this is all coming from tribal, from these early societies. And now we have discovered Christianity, we have discovered real meaning of life, but then again we are going back. We are going away from Christianity and we are going back to pagan times. Again looking for protection from some kind of spirits, and we do not know that this way we are only getting in contact with the spirits of darkness. And we can see in today's society even young children are taking psychoactive drugs. We see that today is present this society is trying to destroy the family, which is extremely important to them, because they need an army of brainwashed cheap workers, people who are not going to think what is it all about. So that's why children are going into the schools as early as possible, so that parents are very busy, mothers are not mothers anymore, they have to work hard. I just heard that this period after the giving birth is shorter and shorter. They have very soon to go to work. Children are given into these daycare centers. So we cannot raise our children anymore. The society is raising the children, making them robots, zombies, which are going to work hard for this society and filling pockets of people who are ruling this world. And of course, we cannot change this world, but we can change ourselves. We can change ourselves and we can change our families. We can help ourselves. We can realize that at one moment in my life, I'm a young man, and in one moment in my life I start to feel anxious, unrest, depressed. I know that there is a solution for this. If, unfortunately, I already come to this point. In the past, in normal societies, Christian, Orthodox Christian societies, the children were raised from the beginning, from the early years of their life, to know, to taste, to feel the taste of God. To feel the taste of prayer, to feel the taste of Holy Communion, to feel the taste of liturgy. And this way, they are going to know that this food is the most important for us. To feed ourselves with Holy Communion and with a prayer. Today we have lost this. And when a young man feels depressed, he goes to psychiatrist, he takes drugs, and he thinks that he will help himself. Unfortunately, he's just killing himself, because all those psychoactive drugs, they're healing some, they're helping a little bit, but they're making our liver and all those, the metabolism is spoiled, it's degenerated. And but even if you do not go to psychiatrist, we are waiting. I just have heard that here you cannot go and drink, to buy drink and go to nightclubs where you can have an alcoholic drink before you're 18. And from outside it looks good. It looks like, well, it's good for children, for young people. But it's not good because it is not explained to them why it is not good to drink. It is just forbidden. And when something is forbidden, it is always attractive for us. So when he becomes 18, he cannot wait to go to nightclub, to pub, and to get drunk, because he thinks, now I'm mature, I'm a real man, I'm adult. And now we see during the weekends young people drunk early in the mornings, laying down all over in their vomit all around them, thinking that this is the way to live. And we see that the whole society actually is giving blessing to this. Just be hardworking, go to job and do whatever you want after that. And it is a terrible thing that we see that young children are taking drugs. They are, how do they say, preterano active, overactive, hyperactive. It is this new terminology, hyperactive children. Of course they are hyperactive. Every kid is hyperactive, and it's normal. But it's not given to them how to be normally active. And since parents are busy all day, the easiest thing is to give them legal narcotic, those psychoactive drugs. And this little kid is growing into the completely degenerated person, which is going to give birth to another generation which is going to be absolutely crazy and not able for living. So I don't want to scare anybody talking about the world in which we live. I just want to kako se kaže, opomenuti, to warn that there is a way, there is a perfect way how to protect ourselves, how to have healthy family, how to have healthy children, and how to live this life in a real good manner. And it is only in the church. Of course, it is now it's very, when you say to somebody, I'm going to church, they're going to laugh to you. But you know, we in Serbian, we say, who is laughing the last, his laughter is the sweetest. You know, let them laugh today. Let them laugh today to you if you go to the church, if you do not want to go to a premature sex or whatever. Just let them laugh. But your laughter will be the sweetest. One day when you become, you know, we have to be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. And every age is beautiful. If we go slowly, as it should be. You know, today, young men, they want to acquire everything right now. And they burn themselves. They want this freedom. What is freedom? Today's world is like you have a sheepfold with sheep in there, and then from the forest, from the nearby forest comes wolf. And he comes to the nearest sheep and he says, "What are you doing there? You're so confined there. You don't have freedom. Come out. Be free." And of course, we know what happens. And it's the same thing like with a young plant. We need to cover, to protect her, protect it. We have to, it has to be tied up for a certain period of time. And it is not that freedom is taken out of it. It is just protection. So that's why we have to be protected and tied up for a certain period of our youth from our parents, because they want good to us. If we want to break up these ties, we are going to suffer greatly. So it is great wisdom to be obedient to our elders, to our priests, to our parents, to elder people that we know that they are actually, they intend good to us. They want us to be sound and normal. And the whole society tells us, do not listen to them. If they don't give you your rights, you have right to go to the police and to accuse them. Recently I was in Serbian church. We have celebrated the Patron's Day of the church, and there was a lunch after the Holy Liturgy, and there was a lot of people and a lot of children, and there was a bishop, there were 7 or 8 priests, a lot of adults, and it was very nice. It was a solemn, it was a celebration. And at the other part of this hall, there was a bunch of children. They were so terrible, so loud, screaming, jumping. You see, it's something abnormal there. They're so unsatisfied. And parents are, they're not allowed to tell them, stop that. You know, in my country, they would be beaten for that. And they would be very nice. And they are going to be very nice people one day. But this way, these children are going to be terrible. Terrible. They're not going to have any respect for their wife or for their husband or to anybody. So we have to notice this. We have to scan this and to realize that it is extremely important to be obedient. Out of disobedience of the Supreme Spirit of Light, this whole earth came to be like this, as it is. And it is not enough only to be cautious, only to go to the Holy Liturgy. It is extremely important. It is the supreme crown of our spiritual Christian life to be present on Holy Liturgy and to take communion. But it is not enough. We have to be plugged into the energy, the source of energy, the source of Holy Spirit. Because we are extremely exhausted, spiritually exhausted. And it is not enough for us to go to the church once a week. It is extremely important to have a prayer room every day. It doesn't have to be too big. Your people in the world, small prayer room. There is a Saint Isaac the Syrian, one of the greatest holy men of our church. And he said, "Man, fulfill your small prayer room and you will be saved." So it means that as a small mobile phones, it works one day or 2 days, and then it dies. It loses the energy, and we plug it in, and then it works again. So we have to be plugged in every day with a small, modest prayer room in the morning and in the evening. No matter how big it is extremely important to bless our day in the morning and to bless our evening in the night, having small prayer room where we are going to be connected, and it will give us protection from this world, since it is not easy to live in today's world. We see that everything is against humans, and only this way, through life in the church, through reading Holy Fathers, we have to educate ourselves. This is extremely important. Today, thank God, not like 20 or 30 or 40 years ago when we used to live in those communist days. Today we have a lot of Holy Fathers in English, in Serbian, in Russian, and it is extremely important to read this, to see where the truth is, because this world is teaching us that truth is somewhere else, and it's a false truth. And we see that we are raped every day through media and through whole society. It is a constant raping. And through this, we are actually losing our minds, losing the peace of our souls, and we are becoming wretched, absolutely. So through the life in the Orthodox Church, we have everything that we need. We have this fulfillment, love, meaning of life, and we can be personalities that can give birth to children which are going to be healthy and normal. And we believe that only this way, working on ourselves spiritually, becoming examples for this world, maybe we can change something. We Orthodox Christians, we have a clue for the terrible problem of this world. We are not here to condemn Western world, as I sometimes like to say, those English, those Americans, they are also poor people, they are brothers and sisters. And we have a clue to give to them. It's Orthodox Christianity, it's answer on every question. But if we do not practice our Orthodox Christianity, if we dissolve in this materialistic world, we are even in worse condition than they are. Because we had something and we really lost it. And we are going to give very serious answer when we come into the in front of the throne of Holy God. So we have chance. I very often, first 20 years of my monastic life, I was reading only Holy Fathers. I was fighting with my demons, with my fallen state, with my sins. But after these 20 years, when I don't know how it happened, that now I'm called to talk openly, I have realized I have to be in contact with today's modern world. So I started to read a lot of contemporary thinkers, especially from Western Europe. And I have realized that they are also realizing, there is a lot of clever people realizing that something is wrong with this world. And then trying to find out what is it. And they are very disciplined. You know, people from the West, they're very disciplined what they do. And they have realized they're exploring what is it going on in the society. So they have discovered, and they see, and they have realized that there is an evil present in the world. Jean Baudrillard, Gilles Deleuze, Michel Foucault, especially French thinkers, then German thinkers. And they have realized that there is a presence of evil in the world. And they say that we do not think evil anymore, but evil thinks us, which is kind of a play of the words. But the problem is that they do not see the solution. They realize that there is a being of evil in the world which is killing us, devouring us. But since they are not Christians, even they are not Christians at all, and of course they are not Orthodox Christians, they do not see the exit. And they are going to the point of despair. And many of those clever, bright, brilliant minds, they come to the point of despair and they commit suicide. Because they do not see the exit. And we have the exit. We Otis Christians, the original Christianity, we were just forced to call this Orthodoxy, because in the meantime there happened to be a lot of heresies. But this is original Christianity, and the original real Christianity is nothing else but supreme psychotherapy. And we all need psychotherapy. Today's world needs psychotherapy, and the supreme psychotherapy and answer of everything is in Orthodox Christianity. And we have the clue. We have this, what they are looking for. And in Melbourne, I have seen there is a bridge, and it has a regular fence. But then they have built another fence, much higher, because from that bridge, they're jumping down and committing suicide every day, people, especially in their mid-ages, 40s, which is most critical part of the life. You know, when we are young, we think, oh, everything is pink, everything is beautiful, I'll make this, I'll do that. And then you go into the world, into the life, you find a job, you get married, and then you realize something is missing. And then you loan money or whatever, and then people are just coming to the point of committing suicide. So let us protect ourselves living in this world. Most of you were born here. Even those who were not born, they came here because they were forced to. So let us protect ourselves. Let us help others, helping ourselves, and stay here, but acquire this very important weapon, which is prayer, which is spiritual life, which is communion, and hopefully we will make something in our lives. So, thank you.
Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amfilohije.